Episode 3. This is the third part in our 9th annual mini-series dedicated to the Catholic Church's beautiful teaching on the dignity of every human life. 2 weeks ago, in episode 1, we asked the question, who is on the side of the gospel of life? And the answers were surprising. We discovered that people that you would think would be on the gospel of life side, our own friends, our own family members, some of our own priests, some members of our own political party, some members of our own church. We surprisingly discovered that some of these people are not on the side of the gospel of life, sadly. And equally surprising, we discovered that people that were not our friends, people that were not part of our own card club, people that are not even part of our church, our Christian friends, even Jews and Muslims and Hindus, even people that aren't part of our own political party, we discovered are indeed on the side of the gospel of life. And so we are united in solidarity with all people, regardless of race, religion, or political party, who defend the entire gospel of life, from the moment of conception until natural death. Last week in episode 2, we talked about the dignity of married life. And we were reminded that God is the author of holy matrimony. Not the state of Minnesota, not the governor, not the president, not the Congress. Almighty God creates marriage. It was God's idea, not your passions, to bring man and woman and to unite them in one flesh. And therefore, what God has joined together, no man, no government can separate. We learn that divorce and remarriage is contrary to the plan of Almighty God. According to Jesus, those who divorce their wives and marry someone else commit adultery and should not offend our Lord any further by receiving Holy Communion. If you find yourself in this particular situation, come see me to see if it is possible to have your marriage rectified and valid in the eyes of Almighty God. This week, the focus of episode 3 is inspired by Bishop Harrington's article in the October 2006 issue of the Winona Diocesan Paper, The Courier. And I don't know if you've had an opportunity to read The Courier this month. Bishop Harrington this month talked about stem cell research, a very important, timely, and often controversial topic. It will be especially important in the upcoming elections, not only in our state, but in the states of California and Missouri. Stem cell research. What does the Catholic Church teach about stem cell research? Well, let's begin with an easier question. What are stem cells? What are stem cells anyway? Well, stem cells are the master cells that form in the human body soon after conception. These stem cells, or master cells, grow into the brain, the blood, the heart, the kidney, the muscle, the skin, etc. These master cells, these stem cells. Now, many scientists have a theory. Many scientists have a theory that they might be able to cultivate these stem cells in a laboratory and use them to grow a new brain, a new heart, a new kidney, new skin, etc. Wouldn't that be an exciting thing? I mean, think of it. Rather than have to wait for a heart transplant, scientists could grow a new heart right there in the laboratory. Rather than have to wait for someone to donate their kidney to you, scientists could make a kidney right there in the laboratory. They could find cures for many different diseases. And it is important to state that there have been many cures that have come from adult stem cells. Stem cells are found in the placenta, in the umbilical cord, in the bone marrow, in the blood. And scientists have been successfully able to take stem cells from umbilical cords, bone marrow, blood, etc., and they have found cures to date. It's a beautiful thing, and I've seen it for myself and witnessed it in my own life with many people who were able to get a cure to their cancer because of this type of stem cells retrieved from their own bone marrow. And so as Bishop Harrington correctly states in his Courier article for October 2006, he says that as Catholics, we can support research and therapy using stem cells obtained by means that do not destroy a human being. For the example, the use of adult stem cells or stem cells retained from umbilical cords. But many scientists believe that the best stem cells are the ones in the tiny little baby before they actually grow into the brain and the heart and the kidney, etc. But in order to get these types of stem cells, you know what they have to do. They have to kill the tiny little baby. And this is where the controversy lies. Some say that you could use the babies killed after an abortion. After all, people say they're dead anyway. I mean, wouldn't it be nice if the little dead child could be used for something good? Other people say, what about the thousands of children conceived in test tubes in laboratories that are frozen? Some argue that these on-ice children could be killed and donated to the scientists who are doing embryonic stem cell research. But these arguments forget one very important thing, that in each case, a tiny little baby, a living human being in its earliest stages of development, would be destroyed for the sake of a scientific theory or experimentation. And in each case, the Catholic Church teaches that the destruction of the tiny child in the womb of his mother is wrong. It's intrinsically evil. But why, Father, you say, why? The babies are already dead, and I had nothing to do with killing them. Can't we use their bodies for something good, for the common good of society? Why, Father? I don't understand. The test tube babies are going to be killed anyway. Why not put them to good use? The Catholic principle is this. It's actually very simple. You cannot do evil that good may come of it. You cannot do evil that good may come of it. And you already know this basic principle in your own lives. Do you tell your kids, well, you know, it's really important for you to go to college. It's really important for you to go to college so that you can get a degree. But since you didn't get a scholarship, why don't you go down there to the bank? Head down there to the local bank and why don't you rob it? They got lots of money down there because it's important to go to college. Is that what you tell your kids? Do you tell your kids, son, you got to get an A on that test no matter what. I don't care if you have to cheat and write the answers up your arm or on an eraser. Cheat, do whatever you have to get an A on that test. Is that what you tell your kids? Do you tell your kids, well, you got to get a job, son. The most important thing to do is to get a job. And so if you have to lie to your boss to get a job, go ahead and lie. Is that what you tell your children? No, you don't. Because the Catholic position is simple. You cannot do evil that good may come of it. Going to college is a good thing, right? Getting an A on a test, that's a good thing. Getting a job, that's a good thing. But stealing and cheating and lying are evil things. They're bad things. And so we can't do these bad, evil things that good may come of it. The Catholic position, it's very simple. You cannot do evil that good may come of it. When Pope Benedict XVI was the cardinal prefect for the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith, he said this: no objective, even though noble in itself, such as a foreseeable advantage to science, to other human beings, or to society, can in any way justify the experimentation on living human embryos or fetuses. He says, no objective, even if it's going to help the common good or other human beings, can justify the killing of a little tiny baby. Pope John Paul II of blessed memory says the same thing. He says, the use of human embryos or fetuses as an object of experimentation constitutes a crime against their dignity as human beings. People aren't things to be used and exploited for the sake of a theory, of an experiment. Human beings are sacred. That tiny little baby is sacred in the womb of his mother, and he cannot be killed for the sake of a theory that has not yet been proved. And so in his Courier article, Bishop Harrington rightly says that when state or federal legislation is proposed to approve embryonic stem cell research, when political candidates publicly propose such programs or funding for embryonic stem cell research, we need to speak out and talk about the immorality of such actions. It's time to speak out. It's time to speak out about the immorality of embryonic stem cell research. It's evil because it destroys and kills a little innocent human little baby. In today's gospel, the rich young man won't give up his riches. He's still holding on to something dear to him. And because he won't give that one thing up to Jesus, he walks away sad. What are you still holding on to? What erroneous opinions and false teachings are you still holding on to? What lies and deceptions of the devil are you still holding on to? What do you still need to let go and give to Jesus? If you believe that embryonic stem cell research is a beautiful thing, if you believe that it's good to kill the child within the womb so that some good to society might come of it, pray. Pray that prudence will be given to you and that the spirit of wisdom will come to you. Pray. Pray that wisdom that was talked about in today's first reading would be given to you. If you're still holding on to these false, erroneous deceptions of the devil, give them up. Let them go today. I can guarantee you, if you don't, you'll walk away sad.